It's April 15th, which means it's Jackie Robinson Day. It's also the 50th anniversary of the Rangers. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about Jackie Robinson, his legacy throughout baseball, but specifically on the Texas Rangers, the Rangers actually throttling Shohei Ohtani, and some updates about the farm. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to talk about a very, very special day. But first, thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your very first listen every single day. If you're not already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick, follow the show at Locked On Rangers, and subscribe on YouTube where we are inching closer to 800 subscribers. Thank you guys so much who are subscribing. But happy April 15th. It's a very special day. It's Friday, which is always great, but it's also a very special day in baseball. Today is the 75th anniversary of when Jackie Robinson broke the barrier of the racial divide in professional sports. It's also the 50th anniversary of the Texas Rangers' first game in Texas as a franchise. It's also Good Friday, which is also very important. It's also tax day, so shout out to my mother who does taxes for a living, and this day means that she's done doing taxes for a minute, so that's also exciting. Really just a great day for everyone. But yeah, today is a great day for baseball specifically, that they got the season started on time so that they could honor Jackie Robinson and the 75th anniversary of him breaking the racial divide barrier in pro sports. Everybody's going to wear the number 42, which is retired throughout all of baseball. And, you know, I would kind of like to see it retired throughout more than just baseball. It'd be kind of cool if it could, you know, cross the divide. I don't know how many numbers are retired throughout all of major professional sports, but if we could do that for 42, I think that'd be pretty awesome. Or how many other leagues even have a number retired for every team? I think Kobe Bryant, there's a few teams that did that for him and his numbers, but not certainly not everybody. But I think that's a really cool thing that it should be done. But you know why everyone wears 42? Not just because it's Jackie Robinson, but why everyone does it? It's because 25 years ago, Ken Griffey Jr. requested to wear the number 42 on the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. And so now everybody does it, which is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing to do. But, you know, it's not just about Jackie Robinson, but because Jackie Robinson didn't like making things about himself. He was about the movement. It was all about the movement and, you know, bringing equality and equity for everyone, people of all colors, races, and creeds. But I'm going to make it about Jackie for a little bit. I know he wouldn't like that, but sorry. It's your day, so I'm going to make it about you a little bit. On this day, 75 years ago, the Brooklyn Dodgers beat the Boston Braves 5-3. Very important thing. The score was not really important. But Jackie Robinson played his first game. He hit second in that lineup. He played first base. He did not get a hit, but he did not strike out. Went 0-for-3 and scored a run. Didn't even play the whole game, which is really frustrating. I don't know exactly why, but I don't know what Howie Schultz brought that Jackie Robinson didn't bring defensively at first base. But if people forget, it kind of gets washed up in the whole, you know, leading a movement thing and, you know, being an icon and a legend and a historical figure. But Jackie Robinson was a really good baseball player too. For his career, he had an on-base percentage of .410. He hit .313 over his 11-year career. He was an all-star. He was an MVP. He was a rookie of the year and finished top five in MVP voting when he broke that color barrier in 1947 as a 28-year-old. He also played for the Kansas City Monarchs in the Negro League, had an OPS over 1,000 that year in 1945. As a 26-year-old. This guy was an incredible baseball player, an incredible person, and baseball is lucky to have him. And, you know, he just broke down a lot of things, and he was incredible. But I want to give a shout-out to Shakia Taylor at CurlyFro on Twitter, who wrote an amazing piece on Baseball Perspectives. If you haven't read it, go read it. Just go check my Twitter and see the thing where I said you need to go read this. Just go read that first. But you had a great idea about not just celebrating Jackie, but celebrating the first black player at every franchise, which I thought, yeah, that's a really great idea. But it's a little difficult and complicated for the Rangers, because they started at the Washington Senators, but they weren't even the first iteration of the Washington Senators. They were actually the third iteration of the Washington Senators. The original team, they started in 1891. They went all the way till 1899, took a year off. Then comes version two in the year 1901. They played in Washington until 1960, when that team eventually moved to Minnesota and became the Twins, which I did not know until I started researching this, which is really interesting. But then the very next year, because I was looking up at who broke the color barrier for the Washington Senators, it was somebody in the 40s, and I looked on the Texas Rangers baseball reference page, and I thought, huh, well, there's no Washington Senators here before 1961. That's because the new iteration came in 1961, which was the formation of this current franchise. It was an expansion team in 1961, literally the year after the Washington Senators left. The Washington Senators came back with completely different players and a new baseball team in 1961. So if we want to go with who is the first Washington Senators player to break the color barrier, we go with Carlos Paula, a Cuban outfielder. He had two hits, a single and a double in his first game back in 1954. Now, if we want to go with the first black player in this current iteration of the franchise, or of the Washington Senators, and therefore the franchise, we go with Bernie Daniels, a starting pitcher. He pitched in Game 3 of that season in 1961, coincidentally, April 15th, 1961. Daniels pitched 7 1/3 innings, struck out 6, allowed 3 runs, and was saddled with the loss to Mudcat Grant and Frank Funk of Cleveland in a 3-1 defeat, because that team could not hit for crap. They couldn't do much of anything very well, that Washington Senators team, which is why they moved to Texas basically a decade after renewing or becoming a, you know, whatever new version of the franchise. But if we want to look at the first black player in Texas Rangers history as a Texas Rangers player, we go to third baseman Dave Nelson, who hit second, went 0-for-4 in the first game in Arlington, April 15th, 1972, in a 1-0 loss to Sandy Alomar and the California Angels. So, take your choice. I personally would like to go with Dave Nelson. I kind of want to go with all three. Like, they're all important in this Rangers franchise history, even though they weren't really the Rangers franchise before this. But every single one of these guys is important. All of those teams, all those first teams, had several black players that were influential. The Rangers have had several influential black players in their franchise history. I mean, and just players of color. If you look at the baseball reference page, the top three WAR players are not some white guys. There's Pudge Rodriguez, there is Rafael Palmeiro, and then there's Adrian Beltre, the third best player in franchise history. He didn't come here until he was, 31 years old? Absolutely bonkers how good this guy was. You also had such greats as Julio Franco. You also had Ruben Sierra, Elvis Andrus, Fergie Jenkins. There's a lot of really great black players in this franchise history, and there's quite a few pretty good black players on this team right now. You have Marcus Semien, one of the stars of this team. Willie Calhoun, who had a really great day, and I'm going to talk about him later and how he's looked really good so far this season. You also have Adolis Garcia and Mark McLemore in this team's history. Several other players that are going to be a part of the Rangers celebration tonight on Friday night. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Jackie Robinson with a special guest on Monday. I'm very much looking forward to that episode, and y'all should be too. And I'll talk a little bit more about Jackie on Monday. But I want to talk about this team absolutely throttling Shohei Ohtani, the offense looking amazing, and Jonah Heim starting his MVP train. I started it last night on Twitter, and I'm going to continue the hype. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar. You guys know about Built Bar. It's the best-tasting protein bar out there on the market. It's absolutely delicious. It is just the best-tasting thing that you can do for your body. It's so freaking good. They have a bazillion different flavors, literally a bazillion. They're all covered in 100% chocolate, yes, including the marshmallow puffs, which are a protein-infused marshmallow. I know it sounds like a creation of science fiction, but it is real. They did it, and they're absolutely delicious. Most of these bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. So you can go and check them out. have a taste for yourself. See that I am not lying. I am speaking the truth about how good Built Bars are. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Now, let's take a look into this Rangers game last night. It looked a little bit closer than it was. The Angels scored two runs in the top of the first inning. The Rangers roared back with four in second inning, four in the fourth, two in the fifth, and just throttled them. The bullpen got a little carried away in Garrett Richards' first appearance with the Texas Rangers. Brett Martin let up a run as well when the game was completely out of hand. But there were also some roster moves that I need to talk about. Yes, the COVID list. It's back. It's back and better than ever, except it's not better than ever. But Dennis Santana is going to be on the COVID IL for a little while. Brock Burke was in this game and was amazing. But Garrett Richards is on this roster. And the Rangers will not have Spencer Howard. That is who I was trying to think of and look up. But John Blake is not tweeting every single thing, so it's making roster transactions a little bit more difficult. Anyway, yeah, Spencer Howard, of course, has a blister. Rangers have two starting pitchers on the IL because, of course, they do. So the Rangers called up Garrett Richards, and they also called up Nick Snyder, who probably should have been up from the very start. But, you know, it's fine. We'll get over it because this game was absolutely incredible. The Rangers got to Shohei Ohtani and hit him really, really well, even though he struck out 5 3 2/3 innings, including Corey Seager on a just really nasty splitter. His splitter is incredible. I mean, we all know that he throws 100 miles an hour, has the fastest average home to first times out of the box as a hitter, and he's also got 85 raw power. Like, it's absolutely insane the things he does. But the Rangers, they got to him by not swinging at that splitter, including an amazing, amazing plate appearance from Willie Calhoun right before the grand slam from Jonah Heim. He ended up working a walk. There were two splitters just inches below the zone. Inches below the zone. I think they were the final two pitches that he faced, if not the final two balls. But he had two strikes, and they were really close to being in the zone. They were just below it. And what he said after the game, that he was confident and comfortable with Willie Calhoun taking those pitches because there's literally nothing you can do with them, even if you do hit him. And Willie fouled off pitch after fouled off pitch after fouled off pitch. He is seeing the ball really, really well right now. He also stretched a single into a double. It probably would have been a double for an average runner, but for him, you know, he could have very easily played it safe and, you know, just stayed at first base. He just smashed a ball through the right field side. But Jonah Heim, anyway, after that clutch walk by Willie Calhoun, Jonah Heim comes up and hits his second home run of the season, an 0-2 pitch. He hits a splitter that was hung in the middle of the plate for a grand slam, his first career grand slam, and the first player to ever hit a home run in the major leagues off of a Shohei Ohtani splitter, which is kind of incredible. It's just amazing. Granted, it wasn't like the best cutter ever, and Jonah Heim just, you know, did some damage with it, but he saw the pitch and he crushed it. He's been killing it this year. I've been reluctant to talk about it because I didn't want to jinx it, but, you know, we're already here. We're on the Jonah Heim hype train, and there is no stopping now. You go to his Baseball Savant page, and, like, everything is in the top, basically, like, 10%. His average exit velocity, the 97th percentile, hard hit percentage, top 2%. Expected slugging, the 100th percentile. Expected batting average, K rate, 100, 100, 99th. Expected WOBA, 100th percentile, barrel rate, whiff percentage, all of those, top 15%. He's just been incredible this year. And, you know, if you want to look at regular numbers, then you can do that as well, because the regular numbers have been astonishingly good in 3 games, 13 plate appearances. He's got a batting average of, it's just a casual 545, and on base is 615. Slugging, 1,091. That's an OPS of 1,706 for those of you doing the math at home. That's really good. It's just really, really good. Jonah Heim has been incredible this season, defensively, offensively, and it's a good deal. The Rangers bet on him, and not Jose Trevino, who had a really nice night last night for the Yankees and just hurt my feelings to see him not in a Rangers uniform, but I'm glad that he's happy. But the Rangers look like they made the right freaking decision with Jonah Heim, who has been crushing it. And it looks like he's going to catch basically every other day. Mitch Garver is DHing a whole lot, which is what I want. And I think that's great. And I'm also glad that it's not coming at the cost of Willie Calhoun at bats. But I am going to get into later, probably next week, how aggressive the Rangers have been with the platoons and switching guys pretty early on. I mean, Willie Calhoun had literally two plate appearances before he was switched for Nick Solak. I don't really know why that was the case. But we'll get into that another time. This was a really, really great outing for the Rangers. Dane Dunning looked really solid in his 3 2/3 innings of work. 7 strikeouts. This guy was getting called strike after called strike after called strike, and a lot of strikes swinging. Some pretty bad swings from Mike Trout, which was awesome to see. He also had a very, very long home run to Mike Trout, which, you know, will happen. The longest in the history of Globe Life Field, which, you know, will happen. But like many Mike Trout home runs, it did not make a difference in the final score, and his team still lost, and his team still mediocre. But the Rangers got their first win at home on the season. They are 2-4. Really, really nice night for everyone. Nathaniel Lowe had a really nice night. Corey Seager, oh, by the way, he had his first home run as a Texas Ranger, and of course it came at home. He had his potential first home run as a Texas Ranger, absolutely robbed by Randall Grichuk earlier in the week. This one, there was no robbing this one unless you knew exactly where the pitch was coming, and as soon as it was swung at, you were standing at the fence, climbed over the fence, and went 4 rows deep. Even then, I don't think you could catch it just being on the field at any point when the pitch was thrown. So shout out to him. Just great night overall from the Texas Rangers, and another great outing out of the pen from Brock Burke. Allowed 1 hit in 2 innings and struck out 5. The guy has been really dang good, and he might be taking over that closer's role soon if he wasn't so good at pitching multiple innings. I don't know that he's going to move back into the starting rotation. I think he might. Well, it depends on what happens with Spencer Howard and his injury and how he looks when he comes back. He didn't have a great first start, but the Rangers are by no means going to give up on him after one terrible start and then going on the IL. I think Colby Allard is going to get the bulk of the innings today. It's going to be, I think, Matt Bush, who is the opener, in the Friday night as the opener, and a bullpen game, and then Taylor Hearn starts on Saturday. So immediately after I said, oh yeah, no, it'll be Spencer Howard's start on Friday, I don't know why they're not listing him. But right after I released that episode, of course, the Rangers make a move, which, you know, is their habit of making me look stupid immediately. But this time they made me look smart by starting hopefully they continue to make me look smart by starting the Jonah Heim AL MVP campaign very, very early, because the guy has been incredible so far. And I have really, really loved what I've seen from him, and just pretty much everything outside of the final 2 innings from the bullpen from the Rangers last night. Coming up, I'm going to talk about a little bit about who has been doing well on the farm after 1 week of play. And yeah, basically just that. But first, I want to talk to you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline is the very best place to get all of your sports betting needs. They got information, they've got odds. If you want to make some bets on the Texas Rangers, you can go do that. If you want to make some bets on the Dallas Stars, you can go do that. If you want to make some bets on the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic, as you're feeling better about the health of his calf than the general betting public is, you can go place some money on that. I don't know what NFL stuff you could bet on right now. I'm sure there's something. Maybe a coach to fill somewhere in the NFL. But anyway, it's the best place for all of your sports betting odds, news, information, betting lines, all kinds of great stuff. Go to betonline.net. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, it is Farm Friday, a new thing that I am starting this year. Totally the first person to ever think of this. I am such a genius. No, I'm really not. But, you know, it's about time. It's a week on the farm, and there's some guys who have been doing incredible work. Just incredible work in the minor leagues that deserve to have their ranking recognized, starting with, we're going to go from top to bottom in terms of the order of these affiliations, starting with the top, and the top of the top is Leody Taveras. In 7 games, 30 at-bats, the guy has been absolutely destroying baseballs. Destroying baseballs. 14 hits in that span, 4 doubles, a home run, 4 RBIs. 1 walk to 5 strikeouts, 2 stolen bases, an average of 467 on base of 484, and slugging 700, 100. That'll play. That'll most definitely play. And if Cole Calhoun keeps not being super great, he did have a great defensive night and a really nice diving play in a spot where the Rangers really needed it and the game was still in the balance. He hasn't hit super well. And, you know, maybe eventually he'll be relocated to more of a bench role. But Leody Taveras is having a really, really nice first seven games of his season. Bubba Thompson also starting out of the gates really, really hot. A little concerned about the 11 strikeouts and 36 at-bats, but he's got 13 hits in that span. He's got an average of .361, slugging .500. That's an .861 OPS. Has a pair of doubles and a home run already at this point, and six stolen bases without getting caught. The guy is speedy, and he knows it, and he knows how to use it really well. Sam Huff also crushing baseballs, making me look very stupid for leaving him off my top 30, which I almost immediately regretted. Two home runs for him so far, slugging .533 and .856 OPS, including an absolute just moonshot. The guy's got 80 grade raw power. It is just stupid how powerful this guy's swing is. There may be some holes in the swing for sure, but I think he's a legit catcher with one of the loudest power tools I have ever seen in this system. It might rival Joey Gallo's. That's how ridiculous his raw power is. Like, he hits baseballs in places that baseballs have not been hit ever. It's just ridiculous, the stuff that he is doing. Other than that, there's not a whole lot else going on the hitting side of AAA. Pitching-wise, Glenn Otto gets the start tonight. He did pretty well. Three shutout innings in his first start there. Nick Snyder didn't allow any runs, and of course he's up at the big leagues. He did not look like a minor leaguer, so he is up with the big leagues. Cole Wynn had his second start of the season last night. He has a 1.13 ERA in eight innings so far. That is only one hit. Has walked three and struck out six. Pretty solid stuff. Probably going to be another few months in the minors. That's fine. That's fine. Cole Wynn, don't care. Cole Wynn's going to be up when Cole Wynn is up, and when he is up, he will look very, very good at throwing baseballs. Jake Ladd's pretty solid in his first couple of starts. Nine innings total, three ERA. Struck out nine and walked three. Really nice stuff. Other than that, not a whole lot going on. Matt Moore hasn't allowed a run in five innings of work in two games so far, but he's not coming up. He's not going to start. I really hope. It's nice that he's putting up nice numbers, but I don't want it. I'm sorry, Matt Moore. I've seen enough. In Double A, shout out to Jordan Procession, the backup catcher, who has a zero ERA on the season and in three games as a hitter is leading with a 16.25 OPS. Has a home run, four hits in seven at-bats, also one walk to one strikeout. And on base is 6.25. He's not a prospect. He's listed as a first baseman. The dude's a catcher. The dude's very much a catcher. He's 29 at Double A. He is a very, very personable guy. And I don't think this means that he is going to be coming up to the big leagues anytime soon, especially with how the Rangers catchers are doing right now. But good for him. He's doing well. Another guy, probably not a prospect, Sandro Fabian, who is 24 in right field and absolutely crushing it through four games. A 14.23 OPS, a home run, a triple, two doubles in 13 at-bats, has an on-base of .500. He might be turning some heads. He might be becoming a prospect. I was told that he was not someone to, you know, keep an eye on, but I'm kind of keeping an eye on him just a little bit. You put up a 1400 OPS in about a week's worth of games, then I'm keeping one or two eyes on you. Not a lot. Actually, probably just one, because I only have two. So two eyes is the maximum. That's a bit much. Ezequiel Duran, pretty great stuff so far in his first week. Five games, 19 at-bats. He has three RBIs, four doubles at this point. On-base over 400, slugging over 500, batting average over 300. Those are all the things that we like to see. Those are all very nice things, while also playing mostly shortstop and I think a little bit of second base so far. Kellen Strom also doing really well, a 920 OPS so far for him. Has a double, on-base over 500. Solid. Solid stuff for him. More walks than strikeouts. Six walks to four strikeouts at this point. Nobody else hitter-wise is doing super-duper well. Dustin Harris has kind of scuffled to start his minor league season at 325 OPS so far. I'm not worried about him. He's a good hitter. He'll figure it out. Jonathan Arnelas has been fine. Blaine Cram hasn't mashed like we wanted him to. That's fine. He'll figure it out. He's a really good hitter. He's trying out a couple of new things, so I'm sure they will be fine. But Kellen Strom, my season so far. Same with Sandra Fabian and Jordan Procession and Ezekiel Durant. Now, let's move on to some of the lower level guys. We are at High A. High A, which is Hickory. Hickory, H-I, High. I will remember it. Down East, whoa. We will get there together. We might screw up a couple more times, but that's okay, because we will do it together. Christian Ainoa. Shouts to him. Ainoa, not Ainoa, just Ainoa, who's hitting over 400 and slugging over 680 with a OPS of 1144 at this point. Franier Chavez, the second baseman in 4 games, 10 at-bats. Not a whole lot of sample size, but again, that's literally everybody. It's been a week of baseball. We're going to have some small sample sizes that are a lot of fun. But anyway, Chavez has a OPS over 1,000, 1083. Really nice stuff. Trevor Hover, despite hitting 100, has an OPS of 900. That's right. We love us some small sample sizes. The dude has 7 walks to 4 strikeouts, and a home run is his only hit. Good for him. That is something that happens sometimes. Also, Evan Carter has an 850 OPS through 5 games. Give me all of the Evan Carter health and happiness and wellness. I am very excited to see what is in store for him this year. Aaron Zavala, also not hitting super well, but has more walks than strikeouts. 8 walks to 7 strikeouts is hitting 100. So exactly the same as Trevor Hover, and also having some crazy weird walk to strikeout numbers. And by crazy weird, I mean crazy good, or just good. Anything with more walks than strikeouts at this point in baseball is just like, wow, you are a real outlier. You are something special. And both those guys have a very, very similar profile. So really curious to see what they do this year. Other than that, not a whole lot else worth looking at. Pitching side has been fine. Not great at Hickory. TK Roby did pretty well in 3 1/3 innings in his first start. I believe he makes his second start tonight. 4 strikeouts. Just 1 earned run and 1 walk to him. Not a great start from Owen White, but again, it's 1 start, 2 runs, 6 hits in 3 innings, but did strike out 3. Mason Englert also gave up 4 runs in 3 1/3 innings. Not a super great start for him. Ricky Venasco gave up quite a few runs. 3 runs in 1 2/3 innings and only struck out 1 to walk 2 in his first start. It's fine. It's a small sample size. Most of those guys are probably going to be just fine. TK Roby, nice to see him doing well. But it's not like any of them are going to be called up super duper soon with the stacked nature of the Frisco Rough Riders rotation. But yeah. Freider Chavez is somebody also to keep an eye on. He's a third baseman for the Hickory Crawdads. He is 22 years old. He's a 22nd round pick back in 2018 by the Texas Rangers. 659th overall out of Midland Junior College. He grew up in Valencia, or was born in Valencia, Venezuela, and has done pretty well so far this year. He's got a 500 batting average, an on-base of 583, and an OPS over 1,000 at 1083. So someone to keep an eye on. Nice to see if the Rangers could get another, you know, 20th plus round pick to become a major leaguer. That would be a nice win for them. But finally, we are on to the Down East Carolina League. Back to the actual real names for these baseball leagues. We got Yosi Gallan, a left fielder for Down East who has done very well. He's a guy to probably keep an eye or two on. Several eyes, 1 to 2 eyes, however many you see fit. He is a 20-year-old at Down East. He is a corner outfielder, mostly right field, bats right-handed, throws right-handed. He's a guy who last year in the ACL did some pretty good stuff in 51 games, had 10 home runs, which is definitely a head turner for a 19-year-old to do in his first season stateside. That was some really nice stuff. He also had 7 triples and 5 doubles. This year, he already has a home run and a double. He's got a 357 batting average, on base of 400, slugging 643. Definitely one to keep an eye on if you're showing that much power at that age. Who knows what he could look like when he is more than 20 years old. He is turning 21 in 10 days, so still super young. And I'm curious to see what he does for the rest of the season. Another guy to keep an eye on, Jose Acosta, who is the second baseman, who was acquired in the Scott Heinemann trade from the Reds back in December of 2020. He has done fairly well to start the season, but literally 2 games, but again, there's not a whole lot of guys playing a whole lot of games down there. Everyone's kind of switching in and out so far. But Acosta, in those 2 games and 4 at-bats, he has a double. He has a walk, two strikeouts on base, a 500 slugging, 500. Something to keep an eye on. Kind of fun. Other than that, not a whole lot going on down there. Pitching-wise, again, not a whole lot to go on there. Jose Cordiel has done pretty well in his first start. 3 1/3 innings. Didn't walk anybody. Had 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, 3 hits in those 3 1/3 innings. Michael Brewer has done pretty well in a couple of outings, going 2 innings in each of those. Has not walked anybody just yet. Also has struck out 6 in 4 innings of work. Deon Dotson, fine. 3 innings. Shutout work. Emiliano Teodoro is another one to keep several eyes on. 2 1/3 innings, 2 strikeouts, 1 hit by pitch, 1 walk, but is not allowed to hit in his 2 1/3 innings. Bradford Webb also no earned runs, no runs at all in 3 2/3 innings. Like, it's been some solid stuff there. The lower levels pitching hasn't been as great, but Cornell is a guy to kind of keep an eye on. He's still very young, and I've heard a little bit about him being someone who might rise a little bit in the system. He's an 18-year-old, which is pretty impressive that he's already at Down East. He was in the ACL last year as a 17-year-old, so this guy is progressing pretty quick through the system. Last year, did struggle quite a bit with walks. He had 14 walks in 38 and 2/3 innings, but again, he's very, very young. Did give up 7 home runs, which wasn't great, but struck out 44 in under 39 innings, which is really solid to see. 6.98 ERA, not what you want to see. But again, it's hard to scout from the numbers, especially when a guy as young as him is already pitching in the stateside. That tells you what you really need to know about this pitcher, and the numbers are kind of secondary at that point. Unless he starts putting up really good numbers, then those become the primary thing. But the fact that he's even pitching as an 18-year-old in full season ball already tells you the Rangers are pretty confident in this guy, and they like him, and they feel really good. He's not turning 19 until June 22nd. So again, this guy signed out of Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic. Someone to keep a couple of eyes on. This guy is definitely one to keep multiple eyes on. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the standouts this week. We'll see a little bit more. We'll see another Jack Leiter start in San Antonio this weekend. We'll let you know how that went, how some of the other guys went, if other guys can pull out of their slumps, if old Dustin Harris can turn it around after 1-4 bad games. It'll be fine. Everything will be fine, but this is definitely some positive encouragement from the first week on the minor leagues, positive encouragement from what the Rangers did to Shohei Ohtani and the Angels last night, and hopefully some more positive encouragement with Jonah Heim continuing his MVP campaign for the rest of this weekend. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. Like I said, on Monday, I'll be joined by a special guest. Hopefully, we are still in the tentative stages, so I'm not saying exactly who it is just yet, but we're recording on Monday morning. Have that to you on Monday afternoon, and hopefully, maybe talk a little bit about a Rangers winning weekend. That'll do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers, and until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.